श्रील गुरुदेव की जय, श्रीमन महाप्रभु की जय, श्री नाम संकीर्तन की जय, श्री गोल गदाधर जी की जय, श्री राधा गोविंद की जय, गौर भक्त वृंद की जय, गौर प्रेमानंद हरि
हरि।
So, good evening to all of you. Pranam, thanks so much for coming, and special thanks to all the devotees here who have gifted us with the drama of Chakir. Right? Louder? Okay. Also, you're closer also.
Yes.
The two parts. 50-50, don't forget. Really appreciate the presentation and how also many of the topics we were presenting throughout these days were woven into the narrative of the play. No, that's to show that it's not about hearing something in class, but trying to play it out in life. Life is like a drama, basically. It's called Srishti Lila. Sometimes it's called the drama of creation. Drama, not like a bad word, just like a play. We are playing certain roles, we are on a certain stage. So, of course, and we are invited to enter the ultimate drama, which is Krishna Lila. As it was very nicely shown by the characters here, no, the price to enter that ultimate lila, which is a lila, a play of immortality. Any play is performed on a stage. So the stage on which Krishna Lila is performed, no, it's not made of wood, but it's made of surrender. So first we are invited to bring the wood fire for sacrifice. So to create this proper foundation, this proper ground, so we can build this temple of divine love in our hearts. Once my Guru Maharaj met some other devotee, and this other devotee told my Guru Maharaj, "Maharaj, I have a very ambitious project. So I'm constructing a temple of $10 million. And I plan to have there living like 3,000 people, on all numbers, big numbers." So my Guru Maharaj was hearing like, Then he thought over some time, and he said, "Well, actually, if I may share, I have an even more ambitious project than that." So the other devotee was like, "What? More ambitious project than that? Like, I thought I was doing the most ambitious thing of all." My Guru Maharaj said, "Yes, I have a more ambitious project. I'm planning to construct a temple in my heart." We know that the currency for that is another one. No dollar, no rupee, no numbers, but the price is to be paid in coins of divine sacred greed. And that's to make the stage, so then the participants of the Lila can enter and perform their drama of divine love. So this drama of divine love, the dancing steps in the drama are very powerful, very heavy. Like Tandava Nritya. Like the dance of destruction that sometimes Shiva is described as performing. So you need very powerful foundation for dealing with that. So these different Upanishads, Upanishadic wisdom, I would say today in the morning, Upanishad means
to sit near.
Yeah, sit near, sit close. And what's the implications of sit close? To take a selfie together? No. Some whispering will be there. Hmm? Some secret will be shared.
No, for was sit near the Guru. To hear.
Yeah.
That he can be, I can be instructed.
Get closer, then I will tell you a secret. So if I tell someone, come close and tell you a secret. Very good. That's right. But that's right, not on social considerations. That's right, even in a deeper sense. So it's to say that the Guru is like fire. So, and we are someone who want to be offered to Krishna. So we are like bhoga. Like you have all this bhoga in the room. And Tribhanga was instructing us the other day. He was begging to all of us to control our the most difficult organ to control, the most hidden and confidential one. Nobody is seeing it, but it's controlling the whole system. The tongue. Jibera lasi ai iti uttidai sisnodala pariyana krishna nahi pai. Mahaprabhu is saying, if someone is running trying to please the tongue here and there, that person will never achieve Krishna. So we don't want to become servants of the tongue, but we want to use our tongue in service. Se bon mukehi jivado swayam eva spuratyada atashri krishna namadi navagrahyam indri. With the senses you cannot attain Krishna, but when you use the senses to serve Krishna, Krishna manifests in those senses. But everything begins in the tongue. Using the tongue to speak Harikatha, and using the tongue not to steal bhoga but to honor Mahaprasad. Tribhanga Prabhu was reminding us the other day generously, please don't eat the bhoga, that bhoga is to offer Sri Gaur Gadadhar, so then we can engage in Mahaprasad Seva. Krishna Chandrapur reminds us every single day, Sri Sri Gaur Gadadhar Mahaprasada Siva Ki Jai. So we are not about to eat. We are about to engage in Siva to Mahaprasad. To Mahaprasad means great mercy, great grace. So great mercy is to be served and honored by that, by us. Not to consume, be consumed, taken, and enjoyed. Indeed, we cannot take grace. Grace only can descend to us. So, in the same way, my point that I was saying, seems I'm getting sidetracked, but it's all in connection. Guru can be like fire, and we are kind of the boga in the room. That are waiting to be offered to Bhagavan. But for the offering to be made, first we have to cook the offering. So we are still raw, we are not cooked yet. Interestingly, in Sanskrit, in Bengali, the word Siddha is used for something which is cooked. And also Siddha means perfect. To attain perfection, to attain cooked stage, they are synonyms. So the Guru is like fire. And we are like the raw bhoga. If we want to be cooked, we have to get closer to the fire. But not too close. You can get burned. But if you get too far, you will remain raw. And you are unofferable. You cannot offer to Gogadadhar something which is raw. But you shouldn't offer something which is burnt. I mean, I have nothing with raw food and all that. No, please. Try to follow the analogy. So the idea is, the sadhu is like fire. And the fire of his or her instruction and example is meant to cook us, to make us offerable. But how much capacity do we have to stand near the fire? So we have to be sincere and look at ourselves and approach in a sustainable way. And eventually we will become more and more accustomed to live in the proximity of fire. Till we become fire-like. It's like if someone would like, most of us, there are three levels of perception, for example, with the sun. The sun sometimes is like a symbol in this world of God. Krishna himself sometimes is compared to the sun. Krishna Surya Sam Mayahai Andakar Jahan Krishna Tahan Nahi Mayaradikar. Krishna is like the sun. Whenever the sun is, there is no darkness. Whatever Krishna is, there is no Maya. So, if in connection to the sun, let's say there are three stances we can take. One is to ignore the sun completely. To live as if the sun does not exist. To not be aware of its movements and message. So in this idea also some verse of the Bhagavatam comes to mind, which is connected to the sun and to death, which was an important topic today. A hopefully important topic tomorrow also. And so on. So this verse says, Ajudharati vaipum sam udyanas chanchayo anaso tasyantek shakshanonrita uttama shloka bhartaya. So this, another verse to the list. So this verse is very interesting, very poetic, very strong at the same time. Say, Ajudharati vaipum sam udyanas chanchayanaso udyanas chanchayanaso. Every time the sun is rising and setting, something that happens every day, there is a message being given to us. Similar to what we spoke the other day regarding Yudhishthira Maharaj, the lake of death. So what's the message? For the general people, Ajur Harati. What does it mean? Ajur, what does it mean? Ajur?
Ayurveda. Life.
Life. What it means? Harati. Hara. Hara. Hare. Hari.
Steel.
Very good. Steel. So Ajur Harati means your life is being taken away. That's the message of the sun rising and setting. One day less. One day less. One day less. Sometimes we have our birthday and I have 1 year more now.
Oh, wir haben Geburtstag.
No, you have 1 year less. But we tend to see reality with another lens. So that's the first half of the verse.
No?
So some people, of course, the second half will say that person who is engaged in singing the glories of Uttama Shloka. Which is the name of Krishna, he who is praised by the highest poetry. For that people, the time is not having influence on them. Like the four Kumaras. They are the most ancient human beings in the universe. But they always remain like little boys. Time is not affecting them. They are not getting old and so on. Because they remain absorbed in Harikatha. So anyhow, my point with this is one, the first approach to the sun is I ignore the sun. I don't care. I'm not realizing. But that's the main event every day. I mean, if the sun is not coming, nothing works. It will come in all the news. Today the sun didn't come. But you won't have any news. Without the sun, you can't read anything. You can print anything. You can do anything. A second level of awareness of the sun will be, I see the sun. I recognize my dependence on that. And I offer every day Surya Namaskar. If you will. Not some gratefulness. I acknowledge my debt, my dependence, materially speaking. Thank you. I offer some mantras, some prayers, some yajna. That's another level. But the third level will be, someone starts to ask, what's going on inside the sun? I heard that there are like nuclear explosions and many things going on inside the sun. I'm interested in going there. People may say, you're crazy. Just say thank you to the sun and continue your life. No. I'm receiving so much from that that I would like to go there and reciprocate and live forever in the sun. But to live in the sun, you have to become sun-like. You cannot enter with this body into the sun. Even being here, so much distance, sometimes we feel sun is reducing us to ashes. Try to imagine entering there and living there forever. You have to develop another total identity. So remember, sun is an analogy for Krishna or Guru in this case. Now, fire, Guru, sun, Krishna. Guru is Sakshat Harit Vena, not representative of Krishna, and they are fire-like. Do you want to get closer to them, or you want to enter into their inner circle and live with them forever? If you want the last thing, you have to become fire-like yourself. In other words, you have to spiritualize your whole being. So this is the idea a little bit regarding the idea of don't get too close. But of course, for attaining this very high stage of fully spiritualizing our being, we need some basic beginnings. So the Upanishads are very, as Krishna Chandrapur mentioned, very generous to us, giving us this very important foundation on topics, you know, like life and death. Asatoma, Satgama, Tamasoma, Jyotirgama, Mrityuma, Amritagama. Try to go from illusion to reality. Asatoma, Satgama. From the Asat to Sat. From the temporary to the eternal. Tamasoma, Jyotirgama. Try to go from darkness to light. From shadow to sun, as we say. And Mrityuma Amritagma. Stop taking births, becoming mortal. So the Upanishad is like a very intense voice pushing us in that direction. Becoming mortal, becoming mortal. Or as we say, saw in the play, realize your own immortality. Because that's a great paradox. No? It's not about becoming what you are not, but realizing what is already there. What you are and all that you can be in terms of potential. So Upanishad generally will take us mostly in that direction, immortality. And when the Upanishads leave, if you will, the Bhagavad pick off from there. Our revelation will tell, yes, immortality, but there is the possibility of sweet immortality. Because the word Amrita means immortality. But also, what does it mean?
Nectar. Nectar.
Aho. No, it means something sweet. So there is a possibility of sweet immortality. The words of Srila Siddhar Maharaj, he will say, positive and progressive immortality. Not just mere immortality. Passive immortality, but positive, progressive, ever-evolving immortality, as we say these days. That's a call of the Bhagavad, and that's a call of the Upanishads in seed form. But that intention blooms and flourishes clearly in texts like the Bhagavad. But Upanishads are saying things like this, Srimbantu Vishvi Amritasya Putraha, for example. The Upanishads are speaking to the whole universe. Vishve Srimbantu. Srimbantu means here, O you. And O you means O you, whole universe. In other words, this is a universal call. Everyone is included in it. Everyone who is in this universe is part of this. Srimbantu, here, pay attention. And what's the message? Amritasya Putraha. Putra means son or children. So all of you, members of the universe, are children of nectar. Your home belongs to the immortal, positive, progressive immortality. So we have to go in that direction, and the Upanishads are pointing in that sense. So very grateful to all of you who have created this very nice udipana or stimulant to kindle our meditation. In our tradition, in ancient times, actually, drama was basically the only art. And gradually, all the disciplines developed in separate forms: dancing, music, poetry. But originally, all of them were together, presented in combined form like drama. And it is considered a very powerful means to not only deliver a teaching and capture us emotionally, but even to convey the experience of rasa ultimately. Indeed, Jiva Goswami Bhaktisandarbha mentions that the performance of devotional dramas are a very special aspect of Raganuga Bhakti. If one has the proper understanding and the ones performing are doing it properly, that will create... Oh! So, this is important service, basically. This is not just... I would say that this is not entertainment. This is... to increase our commitment. As we say, the other, hearing the lilas is not entertainment. They are charming, but they are increasing our commitment. So same applies with the drama. It's not just let's have fun for a moment and relax. If you pay attention to the message, you cannot relax. In the sense of you will take it seriously. That's real comfort. Home comfort. So thanks so much to all the characters here. And thank you to all of you, the 50% of the audience doing their part as well. So that's it. We are supposed to have Q&A today. How much time do we have left? But we may have a few minutes. So I don't know if someone has any questions or topics or something you would like to ask or speak about? Now is the moment. Someone is raising her hand. Shanti.
In the drama and other times you've mentioned it, Krishna Chandra 2, almost every day I hear the expression
Aho.
Of the being
sorry.
The servant. No, it's okay. Being the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant and
of the servants.
Of the servants.
From the
so for for someone who is fairly new on the path, how would you explain to a person that is that this is a very super attractive position to be in?
Wie kannst du das erklären, dass das eine super attraktive Position ist?
So Shanti is not yet too convinced about that proposal. At least not so many servants in between. A few, one or two, but servant of the servant of the servant of the servant.
Well, I'm also asking because recently you said in our tradition it seemed to be attractive to be a Gopi, a Manjari, but then I wasn't sure if it's just to be humble to say that or if it really is the final goal. Or if it's just, I want to be the service. That's very attractive, or if we just play that, but at the end we all want to be a Sakha or a Manjari.
I don't know if. I think Krishna Chandra has to reply that because he's the one saying that every single day, actually. That's his signature statement. Although I subscribe with that, I support what he's saying.
We heard it in the drama.
Mm-hmm. What did we hear in the drama, Krishna Chandra?
Just very short, maybe Maharaj, you could explore. We know the things we take under our control, they will be extremely limited because my forces are extremely limited. And like there's another famous verse in the Upanishad, Yasya Deve. So this means if I approach the sacred realm, I cannot put this under my control. But if I want to know something about a really divine realm, it's by the medium of serving it, not make the divine realm to the object of my observation, but I become the observed and he's the subject. So this means, you know, changing the main perspective. And this is seva, means saiva, 100% only him. You know, it's the biggest change. It's not just me doing many things. So, the verse says, by serving the persons who have an insight, by serving them, suddenly I get atmasat. Suddenly, I'm one with the heart of that sadhu or sadhvi, and slowly I get that what he or she carries in his or her heart, and I become a participant of that content. So that means prakashante mahatmana. By serving Guru and Krishna in such a way, suddenly the deep meaning of all the Vedas, what all the saintly scriptures want to point to, suddenly becomes a reality, a perceivable reality in my heart. So if this is the greatest principle, then one can say, okay, but was heißt Lupe?
A magnifying glass.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, and if I put a second magnifying glass, it becomes even stronger, and a third, and a fourth. So, like in this material world, where everything is missing, and we lack everything, you know, we are constantly needy persons. But in a realm of eternity, we are not just a needy person who wants to get as much as I can, but out of atmaramata, out of being completely fulfilled, I can there to serve, and it becomes like a magnifying glass. And I don't want to be on the top. I want not just one magnifying glass, a second one. This means servant of the servant, and a third one. So what does it mean, you know, in the material world? The servant, the master gets most, the main servant, he gets a little more, some payment. The servant of that, he gets even less payment. You get always less. Mm-hmm. That's why it's not an attractive position. But in a realm of eternity, in a realm where nothing is lacking, this is actually the most attractive position. Maharaj spoke yesterday about how Krishna likes to be under the control of his bhakta. Even the supreme controller becomes like envious of such a position. I want to be that someone in love makes a victory on me. So this is like one of the most intense experience one can ever have. Is I have participation through service. And sometimes even in Govinda Lilamrita, in Madhyan Lila, sometimes Krishna in Radhakund is like embracing Radhika. And Radhika, she feels such an ecstasy in her heart. But the Manjaris, the servant of Radhika, who arranged that meeting in a very, very careful way, she stands a little outside the kunja. And she's shivering intensely. She's like, through the attitude of service, she's participating on everything that Radhika is experiencing by the seva mode. So it's actually a very wonderful high position of approaching the divine realm. Here, everything I need to put under my control. But on a divine realm, I put myself under this control, and this is how I experience something. So Marjit, maybe elaborate.
You elaborated nicely, but of course, I think it's pretty clear what Krishna Chandra Prabhu said. Actually, before telling him to answer, I was thinking some thoughts, and he mostly says 75% of them. He has some mystic power to read the mind. So yeah, the basic idea is generally we have not the most exciting experience of what does it mean to be a servant here. But many times this is the idea. What is the highest here is the lowest there, and vice versa. So the point is, when you ask, including manjaris and gopas, actually if someone has really that aspiration, that's not different from being the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant. Because the eternal service we want to offer as gopis or gopas, generally it's not directly to Krishna or to Radha without intermediaries, but through the agency of his eternal associates, group leaders. But the point is that through all these filters, the experience is not diluted, but becomes enriched. No? Like if someone may speak, let's speak for a minute about the principle of Guru Sishya Parampara. So one may think, oh, if I have Parampara, means in time, whatever came originally, through so, no, came, is coming to me through so many people, so probably in time the original truth will become like diluted in time. I might only receive like a very washed away version of it. But actually it's the opposite. No, because that original truth is passing through the heart of each and every member of the parampara, and each of them are adding their own realizations, flavor, experience, no? And enriching more and more what comes to us. So we are servants of all those servants. So you follow my point. You are not getting a lesser thing, but the contrary, higher thing.
Yeah, it's
yeah. So it's only about changing our angle of vision. I didn't say that, they said that in the play. Srila Siddhar Maharaj, he once said, in this line, he said, ours is the fifth position. First there is Krishna, then comes Krishna Das, who is eternal associates of Krishna. Then comes Krishna Das Anudas, who are not eternal associates but can become associates, Sadhana Siddha. Then comes Krishna Das Anudas, who are not yet perfected beings but are devotees, more advanced sadhakas than us. And then we come there, being able to serve this one and that one and that one. So in this way our service, I mean, when we give in service something to, let's say, Sri Guru, some Vaishnavas, we are serving. The sadhus are not taking anything for themselves, but they are sending all the service they receive to their own sadhus, to their own gurus. And their gurus are sending that to their own gurus. So in this way, the offering that we originally presented, which may not be the greatest offering, in my case at least, but if I offer something to my Gurudev, he will be generous enough to accept the offering, although it's not so great coming from me. But in his generosity, he will make that offering more special than what it was originally.
He's add some flavor.
Yeah, he will add some flavor, some spice to the masala. And with that added spice, he will present that offering to his Gurudev. And his own Gurudev will say, oh, here we can, there is place for further masala here. So in this way, the original offering, which was coming from Padmanabha Swami, who was some unsalted rice or something like that, is passing through one member of the parampara, another member. They are adding salt and ghee and spice and this and that. So when it reaches Krishna, it's like a whole feast, basically. There are even ladu and la rasagula, some other things appear in the way. So Krishna says, oh, so nice. So who did offer this? So I say, one Padmanabha Swami there on Switzerland. I'm like, I didn't offer that. I was like... Oh, Krishna said, oh, you offered this so nice. No? Oh, and the whole parampara will be like, But they are not taking credit for themselves. That's their mercy. So if we don't have that chain, and if we want just to go straight to Krishna, I will be loser at least myself. Hey Krishna, here I have you this unsalted rice. Unsalted rice is my unsalted being. My raw, uncooked offering. So by the fire and by the grace of the sadhus, gradually, no, the offering becomes more enriched. So in that sense, our acharyas have emphasized this indirect approach, if you will. Not wanting to be directly. And that's also... Of course, as Krishna Chandra Prabhu mentioned, it's a sign of humility. Because if I have a glimpse of the infinite, and I have a glimpse of not only how infinite is the infinite, but how finite I am, by myself, separate from the grace of the sadhus, myself isolated from grace, trying to face the infinite. That's overwhelming. That's too much. No. That would be another form of aho. Some astonishment, but in another sense. So if we are humble, we will realize, who am I to approach such a thing by myself? I'm not expert. I don't know what to do even there. What if Krishna appears in front of me? I will need to call my Gurudev and say, Gurudev. Srila Siddhartha Maharaj once said something very funny to make this point. He said, if Krishna appears in front of me, he said different things. Someone asked him, have you seen Krishna? And he has given different answers to that. But all of them trying to make the same point. One time he said, have you seen Krishna? And he said, I was not looking for him. Like implying, I'm not looking for seeing Krishna. I'm looking for serving Krishna. So I don't know, maybe he appeared, but I didn't notice. I was too engaged in Guru Seva. No, that was one of his replies. And I went, have you seen Krishna? He said, the Krishna I want to see is not easy to see. Like implying, there are different levels of Krishnas. Different prices to see levels of Krishna. The one I want to see, it's not easy to see. And once he was asked again the same question, have you seen Krishna? He said, if Krishna appears to me, I will call my Gurudev, I will go to my Gurudev and ask him, Gurudev, is this the person you have been speaking to me about? So better you don't ask Srila Siddhartha Maharaj if he has seen Krishna. You don't know what he may answer, you may be like challenged. Or better you ask, that's better. So the point, as I mentioned today, is we don't want Krishna, just Krishna. We want by himself, by ourselves. We want Prem in between the two of us. So the more Prem is between Krishna and us, the better. So the more we have a servant and a servant and a servant and a servant in between Krishna and me, the more my project of being a servant myself can reach some success. So again, that's why we emphasize this principle, dasa dasana. That's as Mahaprabhu himself says in the verse. No, that means our real designation. No? As we say the other day, Vaishnava is expected to be nirupadi. He already say what that means. I'm starting to understand some German. So free from all these designations. Someone does not speak German, just in case. But to be free from all designations doesn't mean that you don't have any designation. So Mahaprabhu is rejecting all these designations. Naham viprana chana rapatir na piva yishana sudro naham bandina chagriha patir na vanas cho yatir ba. I say, oh my God, I mean, you are not anything. I am not Brahman, no Kshatriya, no Vaisya, no Sudra, no Brahmachari, no Sannyasi, no Vanaprastha, no Grihastha. He speaks indirectly, negatively about what I am not. As we spoke, sometimes it's necessary to speak indirectly and directly. So here he begins about saying all that he is not. Because he knows most of the people think they are all those things. And then he said, Kintu, but I'm all those, not all those things, but Prodyam Nikilapana Mananda Purnam Ritadir Gopi Bhartu Padakamalayor Tasadasana. So, but I am something actually. But only I identify myself as a servant, of the servant, of the servant. He only said that. He could have been 1 hour saying, of the servant, of the servant. But you have to end the verse at some point. Of Sri Krishna, the beloved of the gopis. So that's our real ego, our real identity. So that's why we like so much to serve the Vaishnavas. With this understanding in mind. Not just some external assistance to a human being, but it has to be accompanied by this proper vision and understanding of what's the principle behind this. Because we hear this emphasized so many times that it's good that we ask, why? Because generally this idea of being a servant of so many other servants doesn't seem too glorious. But if the master is supremely loving and merciful, that changed the whole equation. Generally, in this world, the master is not very, very generous. The boss. So the employees do not want so much. Do not identify. I'm employee of this boss. They don't. But if the boss is Krishna, the controller who is controlled by love, that could change the whole thing. Is that clear?
Yeah, thank you.
Okay.
Very much.
So we have. The verse.
Just the verse.
Okay, yeah. Yeah. Originally, that verse appears in the Padyavali of Rupa Goswami. And it is said to be one of very few verses in Sanskrit written or composed by Mahaprabhu himself. We have the Sikshastakam by Mahaprabhu. We have this verse that I quote these days, Shrotam Api Upanishadam Dure Harikatamrita. How far the Harikata can take us beyond the Upanishads. Jiva Goswami said this was spoken by Bhagavan Sri Chaitanya Dev. And we have this verse that we quoted, that Rupa Goswami said this was spoken by Mahaprabhu. So it's an important one. So this verse is also used for something called Bhuta Shuddhi, which means the purification of one's sense of being. Sometimes when devotees enter the altar or something like that, they invoke this verse to change the way they look at themselves. Because to worship God, you have to become God-like, divine. That's like a meditation. I'm entering to the altar to worship Gorga Dadar only as the servant of the servant of the servant. Not even as a sannyasi or all these designations. So this is a nice meditation. Sometimes the devotees recite this mantra as the very first thing they do in the beginning of the day also. Like a self-reminder. Who I am. Like creating a samskar right at the beginning of the day. The first thing of your day, hopefully, is not taking your cell phone. Some people do that. Even before opening their eyes, they take their cell phone in with their eyes closed. Then they open their eyes. And last thing they do after closing their eyes, phone. So how you begin and end your day, that will affect how you live your day in between. And that multiply every day, every week, every month, that creates a whole sense of personality. So better we start that by saying who we are, affirming our prospect. Okay. Here, Brajahari, one devotee friend from Colombia, sent me the verse. It's verse 74 of Padyavali, Naham Vipro Nachanarate.
And it's also in Chaitanya Charitamrita. 13th chapter, verse 87.
Okay.
13th chapter in Madhya Lila, verse 87.
Madhya Lila, second part. Okay, we have a few minutes. Some other question? Yep. Yes. I mean, tomorrow we have more Q&A if we don't get to go to all the questions.
Relating to this being the aiming to become the servant of 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 the servant. We were talking about trying to picture out which would be our spiritual svarup. And I would like to know how to reconcile this spiritual svarup relating to the servant of the servant. And also I would like to know if in the realm of Krishna, is there a character that we cannot aim to be? Like gopis, sakis, sakyas, or mitras, I don't know. Is there any character of those ones we have been discussing in these days that we cannot arrive to be that. I don't know if I explained myself.
I think so, yeah. I think it's clear. I'll try to be brief because it can be a long answer. And I've recently, and again, sorry to repeat myself, but actually I've written a whole book about that topic. So for a comprehensive answer, I will recommend if one takes the time to, like 400 pages to, on this nature of the jiva in connection to bhakti and swarup, how this plays out, this idea that we are servants. Because Shastra says, jivera swarup hai krishnera nitya das. Every jiva is a servant of Krishna. So what does it mean? Does it mean that we are dasya, nitya das? Nitya means that we already have dasya rasa intrinsic in our constitution? No. Because if not, everyone will be in dasya rasa. And not in madhurya rasa, in sakya rasa. So it's a more generic idea of dasyatva, which means servanthood. In other words, all of us are dependent on Krishna. Krishna is the source of everything, and everything is depending on Him. So in that sense, every soul is dependent. Whether you acknowledge that or not, you may say, God does not exist, I'm independent, do what I like. Still you are dependent. By constitution. But the dasa, 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 anudasa, that we are speaking about, this has something to do more with bhakti. So bhakti has to do mostly with voluntarily acknowledging that dependence, and not only that, but wanting to reciprocate. So on one side again, we have this. Everyone depends on Krishna. Some may know it, some may not know it. But in another case, there are some others who recognize their dependence on Krishna. And they want to reciprocate with Him.
Yes, but in which form? Also, Brahma is saying, okay, you know, while approaching that goal, saying, yes, I would like to also be an insect born there just to say, serve you, but then he would like to have a particular role in which to serve.
I'm getting to that point, yeah. So, of course, in a general way, we can say, Krishna is my source, I like to reciprocate. But the more you get to know about Krishna, for example, you will get to know about Krishna generally from his devotees, from his servants. Again, this principle comes. It's not possible just I got to know about Krishna without any devotee. Try to think about that. How does... So clearly you can see Krishna gives himself through the medium of his devotees. That's his style. That's how he likes to give himself to others. So when you get to know from Krishna from a devotee, those devotees are already established in some relationship observed with Krishna. So the general course of action will be that affinity that those devotees have for Krishna will be naturally extended to you. And you will receive what we call bhakti samskaras, which means devotional impressions. So if you associate with someone who loves Krishna in Sakyaras, you will get to know Krishna from that perspective, mainly. And you will receive some impressions of Krishna's charm and beauty and qualities from the heart and eyes of someone who has that affinity. So probably, eventually, you will find yourself attracted to that Krishna. You follow? So of course, for example, Brahma was attracted to Sakya. How? Because Krishna, in the beginning of creation, he approached to Brahma, I would say it. He took Brahma's hands, and he shake hands with Brahma, like a friend would shake with a friend. And Brahma was like, oh, Aho. Aho. That was his first aho. Probably his first aho was when he didn't see any, saw anything. I say, aho, what to do here? Well, when he treated, Krishna treated him like a friend, Brahma received this samskar, this impression from his guru, Sadhu Sangha, Parampara. So naturally, that was his, the Krishna he got to know, if you will. And he felt, Allah, I'm attracted to this. Of course, he said that in a general way. All the details were not in place yet. So in the context of playing out the details, Brahma did some mischief, committed some mistakes. What to do? That happens to every sadhaka. Again, we ourselves may say, Krishna, I want to serve you. I even think I would like to serve you in this way. And then after saying that, Krishna will say, Tatastu. But then some things will happen and oh, we will embarrass like Brahma was. Like, oh, I did some mischief. I thought I knew you, but now I realize I don't know you. I thought I want to serve you, but now I realize I still want to serve myself through you. So you may get a little bit, not depressed, but just like some repentance may come. Repentance. So maybe in those moments you won't say to Krishna, I want to be your friend. Or you may say, I'm so fallen, but at least allow me to be one speck of dust at the feet of your devotees. Still you want to be his friend, but in that moment of humility, you will be expressing yourself in another terms. But still, those samskaras are there. Those impressions are there in your heart. To serve Krishna in one way or another. So, eventually in time, all these things will become more and more clear. So basically, that's how it's happening.
Yeah, but it was about the Swarup.
Is there any...
I mean, what do we understand by Swarup to begin with? Because it's a Sanskrit...
Recording in progress.
Oops, sorry. 1 minute. What do you understand by Swarup? Because any Sanskrit word has many meanings, as you know.
Yeah, I'm talking about a... well...
Swarup can mean one song... Swarup can mean... Sorry? Because we may use one word, and but what we're understanding with that.
Figure, but in a complete way. I mean... Am I like a gopi? Am I mom like Yashoda? Am I a Sakya? Am I a what's the name of those?
Manjari?
Manjari? You know, yes. Like, I don't know how to call it. Role, figure. It's not a role to play, really. It's, well, I intend something like that anyway.
Mm-hmm, okay.
As Baruch. Am I a gopa? Am I a gopi?
We are.
Am I wrong?
Okay. So. Okay. Sorry, I'm summing one. We are Tatastha Shakti. So Tatastha Shakti means. According to the influence of the environment, we will develop a particular sense of identity. In other words, and that's what I, the very first thing I said is, if you can, I invite you to read the book. Because it's a long topic. But basically, what it is described in Shastra is that we don't have an inherent the predetermined identity in relation to Krishna. Mm-hmm. That will depend on the type of sadhu sangha we have. We are in a generic way servants of Krishna, dependents on him, all of us. But another different thing is which type of relationship in rasa we want to have with him in Vrindavan or anywhere else. So that will depend on the type of sadhu sangha I have.
Das hängt ab von der Art und Weise von sadhu sangha, die du bekommst.
Makes sense.
So again, it's not a simple topic to resolve in 5 minutes, but basically that's the situation.
So we develop it.
Yeah, I mean the Shastra is saying, for example, Brahmanda Brahmiti Kona Bhagyavan Jiva Guru Krishna Prasadi Pai Bhakti Lata Beach. Guru is given the seed of divine of devotion. So if you are receiving a seed, means that's not there. You follow me, Paul? If someone is giving you a seed, and the seed is the seed of bhakti, means that bhakti was not there before. Because bhakti is the essence of the Swarup Shakti.
Bhakti is a tie from the Swarup Shakti.
And Swarup Shakti is a separately different category of Shakti than the Tathasta
Shakti. That's why the bhaktas, they pray for bhakti, mm-hmm. and they don't make bhakti.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
They long for bhakti.
And there are so many verses that we find in Shastra speaking about bhakti being bestowed, given, received, or some people being devoid of. What we say today in the Mangala Charan, bhaktya bihina aparada lakshay. So bhaktya bihina means I am devoid of bhakti.
Ich habe keine bhakti.
So if you are devoid of bhakti, means there's no bhakti. So anyhow, some thoughts in that connection. But for more information again,
read the book.
There is a book. It took me a few years, but it's there. it's an attempt to deal with the issue. I know that there are many approaches to this particular question, and different devotees have thought about that in different ways. So you have, yeah. There are some. So we have a few ones yet. Okay, so give me 1 second that I have one detail here. Srila Gurudev ki jai, Sriman Mahaprabhu ki jai, Ghor Bhakta Vrinda ki jai, Ghor Premanand Hari.